Thank you, band. This morning, we had the opportunity to worship together, to worship God in His fullness. And we sang songs of His glory, having redeemed us. And the beauty of that is that it changes us. We are not supposed to be able to come directly to a holy, all-powerful God and even come into His presence like that. But because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can draw near to God in that. We have been redeemed out of the kingdom of darkness and delivered into the kingdom of His beloved Son. We have new identities. No longer the old self that is worshiping God. You're not worshiping God from the old self. It's now the new you in Christ. And with that means you have a new identity. You have new purpose in Him. Are you aware of that purpose in your life? Or are you still stuck and living in the old self, not realizing what Christ has done for you and what your real positioning in Him is? See, following Christ has a direct implication of also going out for Christ. God calls us and God sends us, and that is part of our identity. It's not just something that we do. Let's pray. Jesus, we just come to You this morning. We thank You for Your faithfulness and Your goodness, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth, Holy Spirit. We thank You for Your presence, renewing our minds this morning, Father. Thank You just for this word. Let's bring it to You, Father. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable unto You. In Jesus' name, amen. So excited to be here with all of you this morning. And this morning, we're going to unpack 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 to 21. Now, it comes from the book of Corinthians, written by Saul, Paul, originally Saul from Tarsus. His old self was Saul, and he was very zealous in persecuting and killing those who followed in the way, Christians. And he converted dramatically on the road to Damascus when he was called by Jesus to be an apostle to the Gentiles. He wrote 13 of the New Testament books. It's about, depending on how you measure it, 25% of the New Testament in word count. And he planted churches across the Roman Empire and wrote letters to guide and correct them. Now, the church of Corinth, they were an interesting bunch. They weren't holy, to say the least. I mean, it was the city of Corinth, a place where trade routes crossed, so meaning they were wealthy. It was a diverse place, full of trade, philosophy, and sexual immorality. I mean, if someone from the church writes a sincere question to Paul asking, is it okay to sleep with your mother-in-law, then you know, I mean, something has gone wrong there. So Paul wrote a few churches. He planted this church in in Acts 18, and they struggled with multiple divisions, immorality, and worldly thinking. So, and then in 2 Corinthians was written, obviously in the Bible after 1 Corinthians, where Paul addresses a lot of these moral and church issues. But this letter was also written after a painful visit and tearful letter that we do not find in the Bible. And maybe he was quite hard in that one in terms of correcting them. But in this one, 2 Corinthians, he defends his apostleship against critics who called him weak and unimpressive. And to affirm his love for the church and pastoral care for them and to teach them on true ministry. And some say it's one of his most vulnerable and personal letters that he wrote to them, showing his scars, defending his ministry. And at the same time, he gives us one of the clearest pictures of the gospel, that we are reconciled to God, but then also sent out as ambassadors of reconciliation. So with that, you can follow with me. Like I said, it's not a lot of verses, but we're going to go from verse 17. So therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. It's a term, in Christ, that Paul uses quite a lot. And it speaks about that new identity that we have in Christ. We are positioned in Christ. Maybe let's just read the full part before we jump in. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. A powerful, almost apex of a lot of what Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians, coming together to an extent there. And we see there that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And in terms of remembering scripture, this is a key one to say to yourself, I would say, each day. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Tell your neighbor, I am a new creation. And tell them, you are also a new creation. If you're in Christ, you don't have to say that. But that's so key for us, especially growing up sometimes in a conservative, traditional Christian society where everyone is supposedly Christian, and we start thinking that, hey, everyone is a Christian on the outside. If I go to church, if I do all these Christian things, I comply with what the social society around me requires, and therefore I am Christian. And the fact of the matter is that can lead to some kind of dualism where we still live in our old selves. Our old selves are pretty much alive, and that's the place where we live life from. And we do not live from that new creation in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's where our new identity comes from. Comes from being a new creation in Christ. So it's not just about being in that new creation means, like Jesus said, if we follow him, we need to pick up our cross and die daily. There's an old self that wants to take eminence in our lives, the flesh that wants to come to the forefront. But if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That new identity also speaks to a new position in Christ. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says that it speaks of us being seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Colossians 1 verse 13, we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Everything we do we do from that new identity, a new purpose. It's that new glasses that we put on. It's how you treat your wife or your spouse means you see them through those glasses of being a new creation. Verse 16 before that says, we no longer, it's not on there, we regard no one according to the flesh. I'm speaking of regarding Christ according to the flesh, but then also if we're in Christ, we regard no one according to the flesh, including those around us. And the fact is, whether you know it or not, if you follow Christ, you are a new creation. You've been handed the jersey to run onto the field. It's not a case of, I don't want to use the Springboks analogies too much after yesterday, but if you put on the jersey, if you've already received the jersey, so to speak, to be on the field, you're on the field whether you know it or not. You are a new creation whether you know it or not if you follow Christ. And that newness also means we need to feed or cultivate that new identity that we've received in Christ. See, God, from the start, created man in his image in Genesis. That was the plan all along. But the world, through the flesh, would want to corrupt us in becoming more alive or feeding the flesh so that it becomes our main identity. And then we find ourselves in a place easily where doing the things of God, seeking his purposes, is this foreign thing where we need to almost push ourselves to do it, not realizing that we were actually made for that. See, Imago Dei is that made in the image of God. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, like Romans 8 tells us. That is the place from which we should operate. So, is Christianity or following Christ, is that a life craft or is that your boat? Is that your plan B or your thing that you subscribe to an extent without knowing you're still living in the flesh and you have this life craft next to you that is Christ, that if things really go rough, if the storms really get rough, then you at least hope that life craft is working. But for the rest of the time, we can find ourselves living in the flesh and not living in the spirit, not living from that place of the new creation that Christ has brought us into. So the call is for us to let not have a life craft, but have a one boat. And that boat is living in Christ, is seated in Christ. We can easily have a good person theology. I'm a good person because, and depending on what your worldview is, whether it's looking after animals or going to church, you will think, this is why I'm a good person and this is why I deserve to go to heaven one day. But that is not what God has called us for. See, we can have our lives and then the kingdom can be a part of our lives. But is that what God has called us for? When he has made us a new creation, did he make part of us a new creation? Or is it for all of us, the fullness of who we are, to be renewed and conformed to the image of Christ? We can then find ourselves living in the flesh by living by the law, trying to do certain things, behavior modification, to become more Christian in a way. And in the flesh, those things seem appealing and it seems like, oh, I want the latest book or I want the latest whatever thing that I'm running after, not realizing that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that God's kingdom should not just be part of your life, it should be your life. It's like cleaning out a cupboard, you know, especially in Cape Town. We don't have a lot of space many times. And when you have this cupboard, and if we find something new, what do? We add it to the cupboard, and later on it becomes so full that you don't know where's what and how to get it. But the ideal would be just to clean it out completely and just start with the things that's really necessary. It makes sense where Jesus then says, if we want to follow him, we have to deny everything and follow him. Because we cannot accommodate the kingdom in our lives. The kingdom is way too big to accommodate as part of our lives. See, if our identity is in the old self, then the kingdom is something we continually need to give attention. I need to go to church. I need to have a balanced life, and church is part, is one of those circles or one of those areas, the spiritual part. That's what the world will teach. So you have all these different areas, faith, friends, finances. I mean, you can break it up how you want, and you just need to feed each of those boxes a little bit, and then you will have a balanced life and, you know, whatever you want to call it, peace or a seeking after peace. But the thing is, that's not God's plan. That's not why Jesus didn't come to die for us so that we can have a balanced lifestyle. Jesus didn't come to die for us so that we can agree with him and say, Jesus, I fully agree with everything you said. It's amazing. He calls us to follow him, to leave our boats and follow him. So the kingdom becomes our life, and our lives become part of what God is doing on this earth. Like we said last week, in God's plan in terms of redeeming the world from Genesis, he said to Abraham that I'm going to bless the nations through you. And then through Jesus fulfilling that in starting the process of bringing people to salvation through him, revealing God's plan. And we saw in Revelation how it looks in the end when all the tribes, people, and nations from every tribe and tongue worship Jesus as we worship Jesus this morning, like Revelations 5 says. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, it's a decisive past tense. The old life is not in the process of dying. It's legally dead. Those desires and things, when we weigh up, what is God calling us for? What is my purpose in life? The old self would also want to throw its desires in the cap. It's always going to be there. We're always going to be tempted in one way or another. But that's not the problem. It's acting on that. It's what are we feeding through that? Are we feeding the new creation, the spirit man, as Romans 8 speaks about, or are we feeding the flesh? What is those areas where we find rest in? I mean, is it through binging on entertainment or food or drink? What's those things that we're trying to fill our lives with? And like Proverbs says, there's a road that seems right to a man, but its end is death. It might seem in the short term as this is going to give me what I need. I mean, that has been what Satan's lie has been from the start in Genesis, saying, here's a shortcut, eat this fruit, and you'll get a shortcut to that which is good. But the fact is, you never really get the end product of that which is good. It's just a lie. He's a deceiver. He tells us, here's something you can do to get to that shortcut. Here's a lot of things that you can read up so that you can become a better person. Here's a lot of things that you can watch so that you can receive rest or whatever it is that one is seeking after. So in terms of Jesus saving us, who are you feeding? Are you feeding the spirit man, that which builds up the spirit man inside of you, the new creation that Christ created through that? Or are you starving him? See, all this is from God, verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. All this is from God. Salvation was God's plan from the start. It's not our idea of how, it's not man's thinking of how to fix things in the world. It was God's idea from the start. It's not me or you that created the gospel, it's God's. See, while we were still sinners, at the right time, Christ died for us. For us to be receive that purpose for which God has called us for, it's important to understand what does the gospel mean in your life? What has God saved you from through Jesus Christ? See, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were not able to fix ourselves or draw near to God or have a discipline to come to Him or whatever you might see as a disqualifier for you to fully surrender to Christ. While all those things were in its fullness, Christ seeing that, He died for us. Because then it's easy to understand why freely you have received, freely give. We can give that which we have received. When we go out and evangelize and tell people of the truth or through our work and all those things, it's not our ideas that we're conveying to people. It's God's idea. Salvation is from God. It's not our own message or however you see it that we're proclaiming. We're proclaiming the truth of God through Christ Jesus. And making this a priority in our lives as part of being the new creation, it's important to make it a priority in seeking Christ. See, we'll see that a little bit later. But the Bible is a long love letter from God to mankind from the start in how He longs for and desires to be with us and be reunited with us. All this is from God who reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Who reconciled us to Himself. Jesus said, "Follow me." He reconciles us to Himself. And then He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's interesting that these are not two separate events. He's speaking of it. He reconciled us and then He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Hold out your hands like this. Receiving. Was it something that we need to receive? And if you're comfortable, close your eyes. Say, "Father, thank you for the ministry of reconciliation. I receive it. In Jesus' name." See, it's part of a Father's purpose for His children to involve Him with what He is doing on earth. It's not something that we're going to do one day or when I become the perfect Christian or when I've sorted myself out, because then we have not received the reconciliation that He has given us from the start. Like the prodigal son that went away, and when he came back, he thought, he asked, "Can I serve? I want to be a servant." And the father welcomed him in and had a big party. But just in that same way, God welcomes us in. We don't have to be ready to receive a ministry of reconciliation. Obviously, there's practically a lot of things when we say yes to that call in terms of responding to it. But it comes part of a package. It's part of what saved us. It's also what gives us that purpose in being ministers of reconciliation. Now, reconciliation's meaning is making peace and exchanging peace, in exchanging it or to from going from hostility to peace. And it's God ending that enmity between us and Him because of our sinful nature. Now, God gave us this ministry. He saved and sent us. It's not optional. It comes with being saved, and it's given and entrusted to us. Now, if we look at verse 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself. Who here is accountants? Now, raise your hand. Be proud. Be proud. See, God loves accounting, and He loves accountants. He's been reconciling since... You see, it was written. It's been there all these years. If you've wondered if accounting is a worthwhile profession, it's something God obviously loves doing and still doing to this day. So, but reconciliation, that in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. See, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation, entrusting, placing something of great value in our care. And then, in terms of not counting their trespasses against them, it speaks to that salvation is not by works. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it's not of your own doing. And it's because of that that we have received good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when we respond to going out and doing what Jesus is sending us to do, it's not because of our works. It's because we've been saved by grace. Grace receiving that which you did not deserve. And we've been saved by God's mercy. Mercy not receiving what you do deserve. What we deserve is judgment. We deserve God's judgment because of sin. But because of his mercy, his son Jesus Christ came to die for us, so that we do not receive that judgment. Receiving then salvation and the Holy Spirit is by grace. We do not deserve it, but we get it. So it's not by our good works that we receive salvation, but we were made for good works. And we see a trend in the word. If we break it out, I have a table there summarized in 2 Corinthians, obviously. It's a bit bigger there. So firstly, God saves us, but then he sends us. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8, he reconciled us to himself, and then we see that rhythm, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, entrusting to us that message. Matthew 4 verse 19, he calls his disciples, he says, follow me, and then he says, I will make you fishers of men, kicking off that process of sending us on his mission. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 10, the one we saw, you've been saved by grace through faith, not a result of works, but then he gives us good works that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And you can take that further. I'm in John 15, abide in me and I in you, and then you will bear much fruit. There's this place of God saving us, having a relationship with us, that's important. But then there's also that second part that sometimes we miss, going out, being sent, being part of a work that he is doing. And that's part of our purpose. And we can find ourselves purposeless and not knowing what are we to do now that we are saved, now that we are seeking God. And those are obviously key components in terms of continually seeking God. We cannot do the works of God without having a relationship with him, without having intimacy with him. But it's part of our call. It's not only for some to go out and do these things, but it's for all of us. And for every place that you're working, it might look different. But the point is, God is calling us out to go. Therefore, going to verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. Ambassadors is official envoys who spoke with a full authority of a sending king. So Jesus being recreated in Christ, we have that new creation. We become ambassadors for Christ. See, you cannot be an ambassador for two things at the same time. We cannot serve God and money. If we're still in the flesh, then it's difficult to be an ambassador for Christ because our allegiance is actually with the flesh in some way. Whether it's money, career, or business, desires we have, things that we long for more than longing for Christ's purposes to be revealed through us. But we see that God says that we are ambassadors through Christ, that new creation, and he's making his appeal through us. It doesn't say he's making appeal, his appeal through us when it's good, when things are going well, when you're living the dream, when your life is in order, then his work is making his appeal through us. It's because of our new identity. I think Ross said it when he spoke of us going into the storm. And it's not our outward circumstances that give us peace, but it's Christ in us that gives us peace. Because of our new identity, we're not intimidated by our circumstances, but Christ appeals through us. Whether you're a new mom with a young baby or with two, he appeals through us. Whether it's at work or rough circumstances, he appeals through us. It's for us to embrace, realizing that we're ambassadors all the time. We don't have days off in terms of, oh, I'm taking leave this day of being an ambassador for Christ. I'm giving myself some flesh time this weekend. Just going to have some time digging into whatever satisfies the flesh a bit. There's no such thing. It's you are a new creation in Christ, a new identity. We're always ambassadors for Christ, whether we feel like it or not. Whether we're good ones or not, that's a different question. But God uses the storms and our circumstances to work through us. And in that, it becomes the fact that we are more than overcomers in Christ. Any adverse circumstance, God uses it for the good. It might not be what he chose at the start for us to walk through, but God uses it despite the circumstances. And that's part of being an ambassador for Christ. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Through Christ Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. We can draw near to him. We have a new identity in him. So with that, I want us to, the band can come to the front. And Robert, if you can switch the lights there for us. And I want us to have some time to respond as we stand. You can just stand. Just to bring this before God. Because for many of us, we grew up in a Christian environment, so we're used to speaking Christianese, speaking all these things. But the reality of embracing the new identity that we have can sometimes be blurred through different things. And what I just felt this morning is just that there's a place for us to lay down allegiances. Sometimes that new creation, the old has passed away, but that old self is still being fed through allegiances we have, whether it's money, business, career, or desires not laid down. Where we prioritize that above relationships, and you'll see it manifest in that sense in your relationships through fear and anxiety coming to the forefront sometimes. So just if we can ask, I'm not here, you can talk a little guitar, Dharma. Just want to create a space for us. Father, we thank you just for that. We thank you just for this new identity that you have given us, Christ. Thank you for freedom's sake, Christ, you have set us free, and that we can walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We thank you, Holy Spirit, just where there are any of those allegiances that we need to lay down. You just come and reveal it in our hearts right now. Whether that be dreams that we've never really thought about or brought before you or have not even realized we have. Whether it's having the perfect family, business, or career. Thank you just for those things. You just reveal that to us now. If anything that's causing fear and anxiety in our lives. And then secondly, for some of us, it's repenting of not feeding your spirit, man. Just because of being oblivious to the fact that you are a new creation and you actually have to feed your spirit, man, and not the flesh. Spend time reading the Word, praying, worshiping God, listening to Him. And then thirdly, just to receive that ministry of reconciliation. Doesn't mean you're going to go into full-time ministry or things like that. It's just saying to God, I want to be part of what you're doing on the earth in this time. I want to be part of what you have called me for. It's for my eyes to be open to how you want to reach the world around me. So as we just become quiet, I just want, if there can be some facilitators here in front, then I just want to create a space where we just can come and pray and bring those things before God. And if we can sing that second song we sang this morning. I don't know which one.
The second one.
Okay. Let's sing that. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that we can enter into that new identity that you have for us in Christ Jesus, Father. That we can lay down anything of the flesh that's vying for that place that you have for us in being seated with you in the heavenly places, Jesus. We thank you for that. Thank you just for that purpose and that joy that we can get in partnering with our Father in heaven. We thank you just for that, Lord. As we worship, just come to the front to pray with someone here.
For my waking breath, for my daily